Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Text Number 23. This chapter is entitled Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwarka. Swayam cha guru bir viprai.
Swayam cha guru viprai.
Swayam cha guru bir viprai.
Swayam cha guru
Sadarai stavit virarapi. Sadarai stavirarapi.
Sadarai stavirarapi.
Ashir bir yujyamanonye.
Ashir bir yujyamanonye.
Ashir bir yujyamanonye.
Ashir bir yujyamanonye.
Vandibis chavishatpuram.
Vandibis chavishatpuram.
Vandibis chavishatpuram.
Vandibis chavishatpuram.
Swayam cha guru vir viprai.
Swayam cha guru vir viprai.
Sadarai stavirai api.
Sadarai stavirai api.
Asir bir yujyamanonye.
Asir bir yujyamanonye.
Vande bis cha vishat puram.
Vande bis cha vishat puram.
Swayam cha guru bir viprai.
Swayam cha guru bir viprai.
Sadarai stavirai rapi.
Sadarai stavirai rapi.
Ashir bir yujyaman onye.
Ashir bir yujyaman onye.
Vandibis cha vishat puram.
Vandibis cha vishat puram. Swayam cha guru bir viprai.
Swayam cha guru bir viprai.
Sadarai stavirai rapi.
Sadarai stavirai rapi.
Ashir bir yujyamano ne.
Ashir bir yujyamano ne.
Vandibis cha vishat puram.
Vandibis cha vishat puram.
Swayam cha guru bir viprai.
Swayam cha guru bir viprai.
Satye vi satvira dve.
Sadarai stavirai api.
Asir vi yujya mano agni.
Ashir bir yujyamanonye.
Vande
bis cha vishat puram.
Swayam cha guru bir
viprai. Sadarai stavirai rapi.
Ashir
bir yujyamanonye. Vande bis cha vishat puram. Swayam himself. Cha also. Guru bi. By elderly relatives. Viprai,
viprai,
by the Brahmanas,
by the Brahmanas.
Sadarai,
sadarai,
with their wives,
with their wives.
Stavirai,
stavirai,
invalid,
invalid.
Api,
api,
also,
also.
Asirbi. By the blessing of.
By the blessing of.
Yujyamana.
Yujyamana.
Being praised by.
Being praised by.
Anyai.
By others.
By others.
Vandibi.
Vandibi.
Admirers.
Admirers.
Cha.
And.
Abhishat.
Abhishat.
Entered.
Entered.
Puram.
Puram.
The city.
The city.
Translation.
Then the Lord personally entered the city accompanied by elderly relatives and invalid brahmanas with their wives, all offering benedictions and singing the glories of the Lord. Others also praised the glories of the Lord. Please repeat. Then the Lord
personally entered the city,
accompanied by elderly relatives, and
invalid brahmanas,
with their wives,
all offering benedictions,
and singing the glories of the Lord.
Others also praise
the glories of the Lord.
Purport
by Srila Prabhupada. The brahmanas in society were never attentive to banking money for future retired life. When they were old invalids, they used to approach the assembly of the king, and simply by praising the glorious deeds performed by the kings along with their wives, they would be provided with all necessities of life. Such brahmanas were not, so to speak, flatterers of the king, but the kings were actually glorified by their actions, and they were sincerely still more encouraged in pious acts by such brahmanas in a dignified way. Lord Sri Krishna is worthy of all glories, and the praying brahmanas and others were glorified themselves by chanting the glories of the Lord. Lord Sri Krishna is worthy of all glories, and the praying brahmanas and others were glorified themselves by chanting the glories of the Lord. Om Agyana Tiparandasya Gyananjana Shalaka Jakshu Bhuminam Vena Tasmai Sri Guru Venu Sri Chaitanya Manavisam Sarkam Yena Bhutani Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhaye vacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Sri Vasadi Gaura Prabhuna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So we're continuing this description of Lord Krishna's reception on his arrival in Dwarka, and we're hearing how all the different members of the community of Dwarka came to receive Krishna. There's so many different types of people in the city of Dwarka. So today we're hearing about these elderly relatives and invalid brahmanas. So the relatives of the Lord, elderly relatives, that means people like Ugrasena, and Ugrasena was Krishna's grandfather, and the others, of course, who were equal in age to Ugrasena. So then, the brahmanas also, Prabhupada said, there'll be old people, and in old age the body becomes invalid, you become like an invalid. We see many old people when you go to the Lumpini Park. We see the old people there walking or in their wheelchairs, you know, like this. So that in older age, the body becomes incapable. So they become like invalid. But Prabhupada describes their situation that they were brahmanas, they don't worry about banking money for the future. So these brahmanas, whatever they have, they would just simply use it. The service of the Lord. Prabhupada told us also, don't keep money in the bank. Use it to print books. Use it to print books. That's the best investment. He said, to keep money in the bank, that's always risky. Sometimes the banks close, the money devalues, and people will steal, there'll be corruption. But if you just keep books, keep the wealth in books, then even if people steal some books, it's not a great harm. So these brahmanas, they were not materialistic brahmanas, because they were not keeping money, they were not materialistic. We see in the time of Lord Buddha, the brahmanas have become materialistic. They become greedy for money. And that led to them encouraging the people in animal sacrifices, killing all the different animals and creatures, so that the brahmanas could make more money. So when the brahmanas are interested in money, then they're not brahmanas anymore. Brahmana has to be interested in Brahman, interested in getting out of the material world. He has to be interested in understanding what is Brahman. This is the business of the brahmana. Should be on the path to the Brahman to get out of this material world. So Lord Buddha had to make some reaction against the brahmanas, and he led the people away from the Vedas. And when you lead the people away from the Vedas, then there's no work for the brahmanas anymore, because the brahmanas, they're the ones who can recite the Vedas. Only the brahmanas that are allowed to recite the Vedas. They don't let other people recite the Vedas. So Lord Buddha led the people away from the Vedas. So then the brahmanas were left out of work. And then that led to the disintegration of the Varnashram Dharma system. There was no more Varnashram. So Prabhupada describes here how these brahmanas, when they needed some money, they would simply go to the king and they would simply glorify him. In other words, these brahmanas, they knew how to speak. They were eloquent people and they could speak nicely and they could praise the activities of these great kings, the Kshatriya kings. They would simply go there and they would praise their activities and would glorify the king and glorify the different wives of the king. And in this way the king would become pleased and he would reward the brahmanas. He would give them some wealth and in this way satisfy them. So this was the Vedic system. There was cooperation. The kings, they get their wealth by taxing the people and they use their wealth for the pleasure of the Lord. And by satisfying the brahmanas, they're also satisfying the Supreme Lord. Because the brahmanas are the representative of the Lord. They're very dear to Lord Krishna. Namo brahmana devaya go brahmanya hitaya cha. Jagatitaya krishnaya govindaya namo namaha. So these brahmanas are very dear to Krishna. And when we respect the brahmanas nicely, then Krishna becomes pleased also. Of course the kings, they are also representatives of the Lord. Krishna says in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that among of men I am the monarch. So these kings, they are representatives of Krishna. So they have to act also in the proper way. They have to act in a manner befitting a representative of God. And part of that is a representative of God. He has to preserve Brahminical culture. He has to help the Brahmanas. So when these elderly Brahmanas come to the palace, the kings are willing to give whatever they want. Just like in the Ramayana, we see Vishwamitra came to the palace of Maharaj Dasarath. And Maharaj Dasarath immediately told Vishwamitra, O great sage who are engaged in conquering death, glorifying him, and he told him, whatever you want, please ask from me. It will be my pleasure to provide whatever you want. So this was the nature of the Kshatriya kings in receiving the Brahmanas. They had to give whatever, they would give whatever they wanted. Of course, Vishwamitra at that time, he said, okay, very nice, I've come to get your son. I need your son to come and kill some Rakshasas. And so then Maharaj Dasarath got very upset and said, oh no, not my son. Anything but my son, please, you know. So then Vishwamitra got very angry and was going to curse Dasarath. You said you would give whatever I wanted, now you've changed your mind. You know, this is not good. But like this, this is a famous incident in Ramayana. But it shows the culture, the Vedic culture, that the mood of the kings are to satisfy the Brahmanas. And if they don't satisfy the Brahmanas, then it's very serious. You get reactions. If you don't please the Brahmanas, if Durvasa was not satisfied, you know, then he could put a curse on people. We know there was an incident with Draupadi and her pot. Durvasa was coming with all his men and they wanted to eat. So they were very worried, you know, how will we ever satisfy, how can we ever provide food for him and all of his disciples? And they were worried that they would get reactions. But Draupadi had her pot, and then although she'd taken her food, she called for Krishna. And Krishna found some morsel in the pot which had not been taken, and he accepted that. And when Krishna accepted that, then he became satisfied. And when Krishna is satisfied, then everyone's satisfied, because Krishna is the soul of everyone. So like this, the Brahmanas have to be kept happy, they have to be satisfied, provided for. And at the same time, the Brahmanas, they have to be detached. They cannot be lazy, sense gratified. They cannot be lazy people just simply engaged in sense indulgence, just simply eating and sleeping. Prabhupada says also, he said that they were not flatterers. They did not come to the palace of the king just to tell a bunch of lies, but they were actually glorifying their activities. The kings were actually glorified by their actions. And they were being encouraged, by the words of the Brahmanas, they were being encouraged to do more pious activity. So this is very nice Vedic culture. We can see the cooperation between the Kshatriyas and the Brahmanas. The Kshatriyas are providing for the Brahmanas, and the Brahmanas are encouraging the Kshatriyas. They're praising them, and they're encouraging them to do more pious activity. There's a story, Prabhupada tells, there was this one king, he wanted that they would write the Mahabharata about him. He said, you know, the Yadu dynasty is glorified because of the Mahabharata. So it would be very nice if you could write a book also about my family, my kingdom, my dynasty, just like there's the Mahabharata about the Pandavas and everything. So the king wanted some pandit in the palace should write a book about his family and his dynasty. So the pandit said, okay, give me some money and I'll go and I'll start doing it. So the king gave a big amount of money and the pandit went away. Then after some time, then the king called the pandit and asked him, how's it going? He said, oh yeah, it will take some more time, just give me some more money and I'll do it, you know. So then the king gave some more money, and then after some time then he called the pandit and said, how's it going? The pandit said, yeah, going very nicely. He said, just one thing, he said, just tell me, how many wives how many husbands does your queen have? How many husbands does your queen have? So then the king became very, what do you mean, how many husbands does my wife have? I'm the only husband of my wife. And then the pandit says, yeah, but he said, in the Mahabharata, the whole theme of the Mahabharata is that Draupadi has five husbands. And because of her five husbands, then there's so many problems and intrigues. So I'm sure, you know, your wife is very great. I'm sure she has even more than five husbands, you know. So I was just wondering how many husbands she has. And so when the king heard all of this and he understood, okay, he said, maybe you better not write any book alone. You know. But this way the pandit took a lot of money from the king. So like this, you know, the kings, they like to be glorified. They like to hear about all their nice activities. They like to hear what great persons they are. You know, for the kings, this is nice. And when they're praised, then they become encouraged to be more pious and to do more pious activities. The kings, one of the qualities of the Kshatriya, there are 9 qualities of the Brahman and there are 7 qualities for the Kshatriya. And one of the qualities of the Kshatriya is they have to be charitable. They have to give charity, be kind to other people and give charity. So we know, like Maharaj Janak, the father of Sita, you know, he was very charitable. He could give huge amounts of charity to people. He would give so much wealth away. He would give to everyone. So like this, kings, they have to have these qualities. Just as the brahmanas have to have special qualities, these kings also have to be very qualified. We read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Maharaj Prataparudra. Maharaj Prataparudra was a king in the Jagannath Puri in the time of Lord Chaitanya. So Maharaj Prataparudra, you know, it tells about how he would spend his days. He would wake up early in the morning and then he would read books like Mahabharata and Ramayana and Puranas, and then he would do all his different sports. He would do different horse riding and wrestling and using different weapons, practicing fighting with different weapons. You know, and this way he would spend all of his time. So, Kshatriyas, not easy thing to be a Kshatriya. They have to be very very strong and powerful and full of courage. So these kings, they will have the many brahmanas in their kingdom, and the brahmanas will praise them, and it's the duty of the king to provide for these brahmanas. Nobody should go hungry. Just like Prabhupada said, nobody should go hungry within 5 kilometers of Mayapur, because Mayapur is a big project. So you want it, nobody should go hungry. In the same way, where there's a good king, then everybody will be kept employed, they'll be given some work, and they will have everything they need. They will be happy. Just like during the times of Lord Ramachandra, he was such a good ruler, everyone was happy, everyone was provided for. Every morning, if there were any complaints, you could go there to the palace and complain to Lord Rama. But there were never any complaints. Everybody was so happy, everybody was so satisfied, they had everything they needed, everything they wanted. that he never complained of anything. So this is an ideal social system, that you have kings who are qualified as leaders and who care about others, just like Maharaj Sibi. Maharaj Sibi, the famous story of Maharaj Sibi, that a little sparrow came to him for protection. And Maharaj Sibi said, "Don't worry, in my kingdom, whoever comes, I will give everyone shelter. Nobody need any fear." So then a big hawk came, and he had been chasing this little sparrow. And he demanded that, "You've taken my food, that sparrow was going to be my food. And you say that I cannot harm this sparrow. So you should pay me the flesh of this sparrow." So Maharaj Sibi agreed that he would cut flesh off his body equal to the weight of that bird, so that the hawk could get food. So Maharaj Sibi began cutting flesh off his body. But it didn't matter how much flesh he cut off, it was not heavy enough to equal the weight of the bird. So finally he was going to cut his own head off. And at that time then it was revealed that these two birds were actually demigods who were testing the charity of Maharaj Sibi. So this is the kings, you know, they were so charitable. Maharaj Rantidev was so charitable that he would feed everyone before he fed his own family. Like the kings, to be a king is not an easy thing, you know, it's a great responsibility. They have to punish their own son if he does wrong, and they have to praise their enemy when he does right. So this is, you know, not an easy thing to do, because people are always attached to their own family, and they will like to see the good in their own family and not see the faults, and they will like to see the faults in their enemy and not see the good. But actually a leader should be so good that he will see the faults in his own family and he will see the good in his enemy. So in the 5,000 years ago, in times of Lord Krishna, the social system was so nice that nobody had to worry. Nowadays, you know, older people, they have nobody to depend on them. Their young children don't like to help them so much. And the government also don't help them, don't provide for them. So life is very difficult for people in older age. So especially, of course, these brahmanas, they're glorifying Krishna. That means they're all devotees. They're living in Dwarkapuri, so they're certainly willing to glorify the Lord. So this is very nice. We should all learn how to glorify the Lord. How to please Krishna by offering prayers. This is one of the systems of devotional service. There are 9 different kinds of devotional service, and offering prayers is one of the 9. And we should know how to offer nice prayers for the pleasure of Krishna. When we come to the temple, we should offer prayers. Sometimes people can recite prayers from Bhagavad Gita. There are so many prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's prayers by Queen Kunti. There's prayers by Bhishma Dev. There's so many different prayers are there within the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have the prayers Gajendra Moksha, we have Dhruva's prayers. You know, the whole Bhagavatam is full of different people offering prayers. So we should also be able to know how to pray, how to offer feeling prayers to the Lord, just like we're reciting every day Shikshastikam prayers. Shikshastikam. So these are prayers. We should know the meaning. Do you know the meaning? Shikshastikam? Yeah, you can recite. Yeah, you should know the meaning. We're singing every day, Guru Vastikam, the prayers to the spiritual master. We should know the meaning, right? You know the meaning? Guru Vastikam. So we have to know everything we're singing. Every year we sing Gora Arti, Tulsi Arti, Nrsinga prayers. We should know the meaning. We should understand what we're singing. You don't want to just be a parrot. You can train a parrot to say so many things, but at the time of death, it's not going to remember Krishna. So we have to understand all of these different things, the duties and qualities, activities. Okay, any question?
Like when we see the four ashramas.
Yeah.
So as devotees, that was the ideal case, right, Maharaj? So when we are practicing devotional service in the Kali Yuga, how much should we try to focus on our ashrama and varnama along with our devotional service? Because ideally it might not be so much possible, or we should at least endeavor for that. Or if we endeavor too much just on the varnashrama, then there might be so many things that might not be worth.
You have to follow your duties. You have to follow your duties of your ashram, varna and ashram, until you're a liberated soul. You have to follow your duties. And even after liberation, still you, for the sake of showing example to others, you should follow, you should do your duties of varna and ashram. You cannot neglect this thing. Varna ashram is a support for your devotional service. Support. As a householder, you have duties to do. So as a householder, you have to be Krishna conscious. You cannot think, "Oh, I should be Krishna conscious," and being Krishna conscious means I neglect my duties. That is not right. The Krishna conscious person will do the duties more carefully. Lord Chaitanya was a sannyasi. He had to fulfill all of his different duties. He was not neglectful about his duties of his ashram. So you cannot minimize. These two things will go together, devotional service and varnashram. You have to supplement, you have to combine your activities of Krishna consciousness according to your position, according to your ashram and varna. So it's very clear in Prabhupada's books that we, and without being a liberated soul, you cannot neglect these things. Krishna is telling Arjuna, you have to do your duty. Duty is required. You cannot give up duty. That duty is part of your devotional service. Your duty as a householder, your duty in your varna, your occupation, it is all related to devotional service. It is all part of Krishna consciousness. You have to work, you have to generate income, you have to take care for the family. All of these things are part of Krishna consciousness. It's not separate from Krishna consciousness. So varnashram is a support to your devotional service.
When you're reading Srimad Bhagavatam and other places, there's so many times when it says, you should not be attached to your home. Sometimes when we read like that, then it kind of pushes you so much on the, you know, thinking that, you know, what is Maya, you know, associating with women, especially your family members, so much.
Should not be overly attached to the home. Should not be overly attached. That means we should see the home in relation to Krishna. That the home is a place for worshipping Krishna. The home is a place for practicing Krishna consciousness. Like that.
I was just wondering, why isn't there, I mean, slokas or things that are relating that, you know, you have to also use them in the service of the Lord. There's so much focus on trying to detach, but I mean, why isn't, I mean, such importance also given to trying to relate it or trying to perform your duties properly?
Well, they are there, but you have to be able to understand it. You have to be able to understand these things properly. You know, you're overreacting to it. You're taking it the wrong way. There are so many places there where we're encouraged to use everything in Krishna consciousness. But they're warning you not to just think the home is just a place for your sense enjoyment, because that's the common tendency. Most people are just simply thinking everything is for sense gratification. That they're thinking married life is just for sex, and, you know, sex is for no other purpose but material pleasure, and they want to avoid responsibility. And they think of the home just for eating and sleeping. People have no higher consciousness, so that these things have to be put there in the Bhagavatam to remind us, to, you know, make us more careful not to become comfortable in these situations, not to become too comfortable and too complacent in these situations. But you should not overreact to it. And some people are too sensitive to these things and take it the wrong way. Just like there was one girl one time, she didn't like people calling her mother. She said, "I am not a walking womb." You know, she just could not understand that mother is a respectable person, it's a respectable position. Doesn't mean just some walking womb, you know. So, because of our conditioned nature, we often see things in the wrong way. We can't appreciate the value of these different statements which are given. And the different etiquette which is there in the Vedic culture, sometimes it's too subtle for us. We're so conditioned and we're so covered by the material nature that it's hard for us to appreciate the finer points of the Vedic culture. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur has made it very clear, you know. Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells us, you know, when he worships his deity in the home, then he sees his home as a spiritual world. So it's we're not against people enjoying family life. We're just encouraging, the Bhagavatam is just encouraging people to also cultivate the spiritual aspect of life. They may be at home, but you shouldn't remain at home. For, you know, you can't remain at home forever. You have to be given, you have to give, go out of the home. You take birth in the home and you die in the home. You're going to leave the home. You can't take the home with you. So the Bhagavatam is detaching us from that. You know, the Bhagavatam is powerful preaching. It's a heavy message. That's why a lot of people can't, they can't hear it. It's just too powerful. Very strong. Cuts at our attachment to material life. But that's good for us. This is the medicine to cure us from material life. So we have to hear these things more and more. The more we're attached to Krishna, then the more, the less we'll be attached to the home, to the material world. Not that we have to give up, but we have to see everything in the proper way. We have to see everything in relation to Krishna. So many examples are there, so many householders were there. Lord Nityananda was a householder, Advaita Acharya was a householder, Srivas Pandit was a householder. They were all intimate associates. So, there's no problem so long as you're in Krishna consciousness. The problem comes when you forget Krishna. The Mahajans, we went through the Mahajans before. I told you so many of the Mahajans, they were householders. They're also the authorities in devotional service. So, you can, you know, you can progress. You can be Krishna conscious. You just have to be careful. There's danger everywhere. Okay? Yes. Srimad Bhagavatam.